Heaters and the first picture of you, the first picture of summer. Fantastic. What a brilliant song that is as well. Thanks for picking it, the 80s Whopper song for today. And that was 1980, the summer, July 1983 for that. So if you said 82, if you said 84, close but no cigars, they say. Now, we love Fridays. We love sci-fi. Is there such thing as a Scouse look? Can you actually travel into a black hole? Will you survive? And what are we going to do about antibiotic resistance? Well, these are just some of the questions that we attempt to answer every Friday, all part of Science Friday, Sci-Fry. Every week we speak to doctors, scientists, researchers who all ply their trade in such wonderful establishments as the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, University of Liverpool, JMU here in the city as well, simply because these are the men and women who are right at the top of their game. No pressure. And their chosen subjects too. So let me introduce Dr. Adam Roberts from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Fascinating subject, this. You lecture and you work in antibiotic resistance. And we hear about this in the news. And this constant battle that we have, this daily battle that we have. Tell me more.
Yeah, that's right. So we're in a bit of a pickle, really, at the moment, because the antibiotics that we use to treat many different infectious diseases are stopping working. And this is because we're using the same ones over and over again, and we're using them a lot, probably more than we should, both in medicine and in veterinary medicine and in agriculture. And this is putting the pressure on the bacteria and the fungi to evolve resistance to the drugs. So what we're seeing is that these infections are more and more difficult to treat, and sometimes the drugs won't work at all, so we have to choose a different one.
Right. So why have we not kept up with play, as it were?
That's a really good question, actually, and it's probably due to the economics of finding new drugs. So I think we could probably find new drugs, but it takes billions of pounds in order to develop them for medicine. And then if you imagine you've got a large pharmaceutical company that you've said, right, let's invest £10 billion and then we're going to make a new drug. If they do get it to market, what they're going to do is ask people not to use it. Mm. Because the more we use it, the more and the quicker resistance will emerge.
So when we start to look at new antibiotics or new ways of battling nature, because that's what we're doing, really, isn't it?
Yep.
We've got this constant battle against nature and the survival of the fittest, I suppose, if you like. Where do we look? Do we look to the natural world? Do we look to the chemical world? Where do we look to find the answers here?
So new drugs really can be found in both sort of in synthetic biology and chemistry, and also in the natural world. And there are are projects across the globe looking for new drugs. But I don't think there's enough. We need more. And we don't just need one new drug. Because if we have one new drug and that's used globally, then resistance will emerge really quick. What we need are tens of new drugs, maybe hundreds of new drugs, so the clinicians can logically cycle through and actually not use these 10 drugs for 10 years, so resistance doesn't emerge.
It must be frustrating for you, though, because, you know, you open up the papers, turn the telly on, listen to the radio, and it's, oh, doctors giving out antibiotics like sweets. I mean, it's not the case, is it? Or is it?
Well, it's getting better. But the amount of resistance is still increasing. The amount of drugs that have been used globally is increasing dramatically. So this is a global issue. It's not just in the UK. If we solve it here, it probably wouldn't make a difference because people travel internationally and bring all the bugs with them. So we need a global response, really, and we need a concerted action to find new drugs and also to educate everybody about proper use.
When you say proper use, just give us a couple of examples.
So, for example, following exactly what your doctor says when they prescribe antibiotics, not borrowing a friend's antibiotics if you've got a sore throat.
Yeah.
If you've got lots of antibiotics in the cupboard at home, take them back to the pharmacy and get rid of them. They'll dispose of them.
Do they have a sell-by date, these?
Yes, they do.
They don't last forever?
No, they don't. So if you're taking really old antibiotics, actually they might not be as efficient as they should be, which is exactly what bacteria want, because then they can evolve quicker with reduced concentration.
So we're not helping then, are we?
No.
No. Sometimes we can all be DIY doctors and we think we know best. But
and everybody's so busy, so, you know, I need something, I need a pill so I can go to work tomorrow. Sometimes it just can't be fixed that quickly.
How important is it to finish the course? Because you might get a pack of antibiotics and I feel great now. I've only had half of them. I feel great. How important is it to finish the course?
So it's vitally important. So when you start feeling better, that means that the bacterial load in your body is reducing and you're almost free of that infection. Wow. But that word almost is important because there's still going to be some residual bacteria there. And if you stop, the concentration of the antibiotics in your system will lower and then they can emerge as a more tolerant or even resistant species.
Right, so we don't kill them off completely. There's still a few left and they get stronger.
Yep.
Right, okay. There's a project at the moment called Swab and Send. Swab and Send me that. And producer Steve and I, we're going to help you with it, aren't we?
That'd be great, yeah.
It depends what we're going to swab. Do we have to swab ourselves? Or?
No. So what we say is don't swab humans or animals in this project.
Okay.
But nobody takes any notice. So we get swabs of all sorts.
You'd make a great doctor. You really would. You had to take these.
But what we're looking for is for people to swab something in their environment. And it could be something in the fridge. It could be the dirt on the bottom of their shoe, the contents of their handbag, and send it back to us. And we'll grow everything we can from it. And we'll see if those bacteria actually produce new antibiotics.
Right.
Because a lot of the antibiotics we use, more than half of them, are naturally derived from bacteria themselves.
So you've got some swab packs there now.
Yep,
okay.
I have here.
Are we allowed to open one up? Or can I swab my workplace here?
Yeah, of course you
would
can.
Would that be okay? All right, let me just get this in place here. And if you open up the pack, it looks like a pen. It looks like a little pen.
That's right. It's just a stick with a cotton bud on the end, really.
Okay. Oh, right, okay. So what would you like me to swab? So in front of me, I've got my desk, I've got faders, lots of different presenters throughout the day. They touch this every single day.
Uh-huh. So you see that dirt on your mouse there?
It's filthy, isn't
it? Yeah.
It is filthy,
give that a good rummage.
Okay. Tell me what. So I'm just rubbing the swab across the mouse. When you look at this mouse, what do you, you know, as somebody who works with antibiotic, what do you see on that mouse?
Potentially medical gold. If there's a bacterium producing a novel antibiotic there, hopefully we can find it and put it into medicine.
All right, so everybody touches this, who uses this studio too. All right, so is that enough, do you
think? Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
pop it back in there.
And what are you going to do with that now?
So we'll take that to the lab. Yeah. We'll plate it out onto agar plate, which contain this nutritious jelly.
Yeah.
Grows up all the different bacteria.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we'll test those against some real nasty pathogens that we want to try and kill.
We're almost out of time. When will we know if I am using a mouse to do my job that's going to kill me?
I couldn't tell you that. But I can tell you what types of bacteria are on it within a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll hook up again in a couple of weeks' time.
Sounds good.
And if anybody else wants to get involved in this, how do they do it?
Visit the website at the LSTM and they can read all about the project and follow the link to participate.
All right, you got me worried now. I don't even want to touch the mouse now. I'm starting to...
normal. We're in a bacterial world.
We certainly are with that. I can't wait to see what grows. But listen, Adam Roberts, Dr. Adam Roberts, products from the University, from the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Can't wait to find out those results.
Thank you.
Be afraid, be very afraid. Lovely stuff. Thank you. It's 9 o'clock now. Let's bring you right up to date with the latest BBC news. Here's Jess Robbins.
Thanks, Tony. Good morning. The father of Alfie Evans, the seriously ill Liverpool toddler, says he'll keep fighting to take his son to a hospital in Italy. The 23-month-old has a degenerative brain condition, and the High Court ruled in February that doctors at Alder Hey can switch off his life support. Tom Evans returned from Rome yesterday, where he met the Pope. He's now hoping the Supreme Court will hear a fresh appeal against February's ruling. He says the hospital in Italy want to treat Alfie.
It's to do more than what Alder